Lena can read, understands the text, and can form her own opinion. To her, this is nothing special, but 500 years ago, that was not the case for many people. Back then, Germany and other parts of Europe were divided up quite differently, both politically and geographically. They were ruled by emperors, kings, princes, and the Roman Catholic Church. There was not yet a Protestant church at the time. These mainly told the people what to believe in and how they should live. The church had something, well, how should we put it, to offer sinful people. For example, they sold letters of indulgence. These were supposed to exonerate someone from sin and reduce or even completely avoid the time spent in purgatory, that is, the period before entering heaven, money in place of repentance. And indeed, they could be bought for deceased relatives too. The church used the money to finance the construction of St. Peter's Basilica, for example, and to plug up financial gaps. Not everyone agreed with this. A German theologian by the name of Martin Luther criticized this misuse of indulgence. According to traditions, he was said to have published 95 theses on that issue on October 31, 1517. He listed reasons that things should be about belief alone, about repentance and God's grace, and not about making money and the church as an institution. How his theses were acknowledged is not known exactly today, but one thing is clear: Luther wrote history, and he heralded a Reformation. Thanks to the newly developed book printing technology, Luther's writings spread quickly and he gained followers, which the church did not exactly like that much. It was a turbulent time for Luther. He was excluded, accused, and pursued. Away from the public eye, at the Wartburg Castle in the German town of Eisenach, he continued to write using the alias Knight George. It was there that he also translated the New Testament from Greek, Hebrew, and sometimes Latin into German. This is how he made it possible for many people to read the Bible and to think for themselves. Education and freedom were the most important topics of the Reformation. However, it was not only a religious matter. In his writings about the Reformation, Luther also addressed those who were dissatisfied with the political and social order, such as farmers, who suffered due to taxes and serfdom. They now demanded justice from those who ruled over them. The institution of the Catholic Church was shaken by this, and a new Protestant church was founded, even if this had not been Luther's intention at all. Over the course of decades, the prevailing common order of church and state gradually dissolved. The selling of indulgences has been prohibited in the Catholic Church since 1562 as well. Lena now knows why October 31st is marked in her calendar as Reformation Day. Protestants commemorate the publication of Martin Luther's theses on this day, along with the start of a Reformation, which stands for freedom, justice, education, and social equality.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Ainsley Harmon, if we haven't had the privilege of meeting yet, and I am married to this wonderful man over here, our senior pastor, and am blessed to be his wife. In fact, we were talking a while back, and it had just come to my attention that if you notice the dating of the Reformation, the beginning of it, that Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the chapel church in 1517. So that puts us today at the 500-year celebration or commemoration of the beginning, or what's known as the beginning of the Reformation movement. And so it seemed fitting. How do you let something so substantial go by without mentioning it? How do you let something that has impacted our lives so personally get by without saying anything? And so we wanted to bring this to our collective attention today, because the Reformation still affects us today, and things that happened during that time uniquely impact us. We saw and noticed that it was largely, or in many ways, due to the invention of the printing press and movable type, to be specific, that allowed documents to be printed and then to be distributed. Because there were people before Martin Luther who too had some of the same convictions, but due to the limitations of the current technology, or the technology at the time, they were unable to cause that message to go out the way that it did when Luther was pinned by God to take that place in history that he did, along with the other reformers. As we notice, the Reformation and what happened with Martin Luther was largely Germany, but the Protestant Reformation was not limited to Germany. It spread and was very strong in Switzerland and England. It went all throughout Europe, but we would mark the beginning of that movement to have happened and to have begun on October 31st, 1517. Now, we know October 31st is what day? Rats. It's time to take that day back, isn't it? Time to take that day back. This is a very significant spiritual day. And I want to, just for those of you who have children and you may take your children out, or for those of you who wonder, should I even hand out candy? Should I acknowledge this as a Christian? Should I do this? And there are a lot of differing opinions on that. But you know what I say? I say redeem that day. Redeem that day. You have the world coming to your door. It's your time to bless them in Jesus' name as you give them candy. Or what about the thought of you taking your children out, and when the door is knocked on, say, we have something for you. Happy Reformation Day. And hand something to them. Oh, can that day be redeemed? You bet it can. And we're going to live it for Jesus, aren't we? And so it really is a very significant day in history. One of the things, there was much that happened, and our little promo alluded to it, that there were many things that happened even socially and economically and politically out of the Reformation. But that isn't the point of our discussion today. We're not going to be taking a look at the economic implications and the political implications, because we have treasures in front of us, church, this morning. And they're found in the form of five solas. Solas are the thoughts of the main thoughts that came out of the Reformation, the truths that transformed the lives of the people that announced them and continue to transform our lives today. I had never even heard of solas before. I hadn't even heard much about the Reformation. All I pretty much knew about the reformers is that they all seemed to have bad hair. And that, Lord, help their poor hair. And that I could be pretty sure that those styles would never come back. I think the page boy is probably pretty much out. But the truths that came through the Reformation, they're going to stick around. Why? Because they're biblical truths. And so these five solas, these Latin phrases, they were popularized during the Protestant Reformation, and they emphasized the distinction between the early reformers and the Roman Catholic Church. So every sola is an only, or an alone. And so we're going to take time, and we're going to go through these solas and see what was it that captured the lives and the hearts of these reformers, and what truths were they that came out of this Reformation period 500 years ago. So the five solas are sola scriptura, or scripture alone. The second one, sola fide, faith alone. Sola gratia, grace alone. Solus Christus, through Christ alone. Soli Deo Gloria, to the glory of God alone. So let's take a look at the first one. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. This truth emphasizes the Bible alone as the source of authority for Christians. The Scripture says of itself in 2 Peter 1, 20 to 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that the Scripture is God-breathed, according to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, which says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What a concept that you could find out biblical truth and scriptural truth from the Scripture. This was a huge revelation. The reformers came and they said, we will reject any teaching that is given, even if it's given through the church, if it does not line up with what Scripture says. If it comes from the mouth of a priest, if it comes from the mouth of a pope, but it does not align with the Word of God, we soundly and resolutely reject it. That the Bible alone, the Scripture alone, is the source of authority for men and women. And people who want to know what God thinks and what he teaches and what he says and what he instructs and how he corrects need only to look in the Scripture themselves to find out what the Scripture says and that it teaches. Tradition no longer, the reformers said, will be the way that we learn. We will not learn from tradition. We will learn from Scripture alone. But there was a problem with this. People didn't have the Scripture, and it was held back from them. People had no way to see what the Word of God said. And besides, they had been taught to believe that only the learned ones could really explain it to you. And so if you really wanted to get it right, you were going to have to hear from somebody who knew it a whole lot better than you do. Because who do you think you are to think that you might be able to read it and actually understand God speaking to you? This was a big roadblock to people saying and being able to understand the Scripture. And so the reformers knew that the solution was people must have the Scripture in their own language and be able to read it for themselves. But it wasn't out there. It wasn't out there to be had. And so Luther himself began to translate the New Testament into German, the German language of the people. And then again, due to the printing press, he was able to make copies. People were able to get a hold of the Scripture. And the desire of people to see the Word of God themselves, almost approaching it like, well, I'm not sure if I really can. Do you approach the Bible that way? Do you feel like maybe God can't speak to you? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. If you have the Scriptures and you're able to read it, God is able to reveal himself to you. He is able to do that. And many people have suffered and died for the sake of their work in translating the Scripture. In fact, one of the reformers who was a contemporary of Luther was William Tyndale. And he was passionate also about the Scriptures, that people should have the Bible in their language. And he was from England. And so he became the first man to translate and print the New Testament into the English language for people to read. And he was working on a translation of the Old Testament when he was arrested and imprisoned for the crime of printing the Scriptures into English. That was his crime. How dare you print the Scriptures, and how dare you put it out for people to be able to receive it? He paid a huge price. But here's what he said. He said, I defy the Pope and all his laws, and if God spare my life ere many years, I will cause a boy who drives a plow to know more the Scriptures than you do. He He said, I will, that every last man, woman, boy, and girl is going to be able to have the scriptures, and they're going to be able to know it. And their life is going to be changed like my life has changed. That's what he said. His passion was for people to have the scriptures, to be able to read it for themselves. It wasn't long after that he was tried for heresy and treason, and he was convicted. He was imprisoned for 500 days in horrendous conditions, and then he was strangled and burned at the stake. All this for translating the scriptures. But Tyndale's last words were these, Lord, open the King of England's eyes. Open the King of England's eyes. And God answered his prayers. And 3 years later, King Henry VIII approved and printed the Great Bible in 1536. Oh, his prayers were answered. Is it not the desire of God that people would have the scriptures and be able to read and learn for themselves? Sola scriptura, scripture alone. Our passion for the scriptures is why we'll take our Bibles and say, this is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. And so I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Sola scriptura. The next one. Sola fide, faith alone. This emphasizes the truth that man is justified before God by faith. Not by works. Not by works that man can do to legally be right in the eyes of God and God to look upon you and say, you are right with me. Something has to happen. Well, something happened. Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood for you, and he shed his blood for me. And the scripture tells us that every person that believes in that, believes in him as Lord, if they believe in their heart, they confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God has raised them from the dead, you will be saved. And in that salvation, God takes his righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, and he imputes it. He credits it to your account. And so God, in looking at you then, looks at the righteousness of his son that's been given to you and says, you're right in my eyes. You're right in my eyes. It's not by one thing that you can do. It's not by 1 ounce of money that you could pay. What a scandal. What an absolute insult and affront to the blood of Jesus Christ, that someone, that anyone would say, that money could do when only the blood of Jesus Christ could do. Man cannot be right in the eyes of God with filthy money. And the reformers, they were incensed by this. How could you dare? But that was after they finally came to understand that truth. You see, they didn't know it till they began to open their Bible and read. And here are some of the things that they began to read. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. No one will be right in the eyes of God by what they do. It comes by faith and by faith alone. Now, this was a very strong point in Luther's life. Luther had no intention of becoming a priest or being involved in the church or church life. He was educated very well as a young man. And at the end of his initial education, his father encouraged him to go into law. So he signed up for law school and was getting ready to go. That was going to be the path for his life. when in July he was caught in an extremely bad storm. And he was, lightning came down. It threw him down to the ground. He was so frightened and afraid for his life that he called out and he said, "If you let me live, I will become a monk." And this was a turning point in his life. He lived and he kept true to his word. And he went into an Augustine monastery. But while he was there, he had a difficult time. Why? Because he had no peace with God. He was reading and he was learning things, but he was not learning how to be right with God, and he was tormented in his soul. In fact, it said that he was neurotically fearful. He was extremely afraid of God. He was afraid of the justice of God. He was afraid of Christ. And so it was that the vicar general had come in and talked to him. His last name was Staupitz, and said, "Luther, why don't you instead think of God's love for the sinner as evidenced in Christ's death?" He said, "Get your Bible, Luther. Read your Bible." And so Luther went back and got the Bible with the red binding. And he sat down and he began to read his Bible. And then as he was lecturing and studying and lecturing, he was primarily in the book of Psalms, Romans, Galatians, Hebrews, and Titus. It was during this period, while he was up in a tower, that he was reading through the scripture, and the truth of justification by faith became real to him. He went on to read things like this in Galatians 3:11, "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. And in Romans, "For what does scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." At some point, Luther comes out of that tower and says, "I have peace with God. I have peace with God. Not by anything that I've done. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by their faith." And that man's life was changed. But his wasn't the only life that was changed. Many lives changed seeing that. They're still changed today. I remember being a teenage girl, and I remember coming out of my room one day, and my dad was coming out of his office. My dad was not an emotional guy, but I could tell just by his face. He said, "I've been reading Romans, and I learned the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by their faith. A man is right from God, with God, apart from works of the law. He's saved by faith." Changed my dad's life. Changed Luther's life. It changed my life. Has it changed your life yet? Have you been changed by the knowledge that it's not by one thing that you can do, that a man is justified by faith and only by faith? It's really as simple as that. The truth of the gospel is very simple. Sola fide. Faith alone. Number three is sola gratia. Grace alone. Grace is being described as God's unmerited favor. And this understanding is this. That is the work of God alone reaching out to you by which you're saved. Do you know that in every single situation, God himself is the initiator? In every single instance, God is the one who reaches down. It's God who sends his son. It's God by the power of the Holy Spirit that woos you. It is God by his grace extending something to you and to me that we don't deserve, but he wants us to have. It's by the grace of God alone that we're able to understand and ever experience salvation. The salvation of God comes through grace alone, through Jesus Christ. That grace is received, and faith is that, well, let me read it. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. God's grace, our faith, enables us to be saved. We see in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but that they'd have everlasting life. It shows us so clearly that it's a gift. You cannot earn a gift. You cannot earn a gift. A gift can only be given. And if a gift is ever going to be yours, it has to be received. And I pray that you have received the gift of salvation that comes by grace. Why? God wants you to have it. That's why he gave it. He did everything. He's the initiator of everything. Heinrich Bullinger, a Swiss reformer, stated, "The ineffable mercy and divine grace of the eternal God are proven first in that God offers this covenant, not in any way because of the merits of humans, but rather out of the sheer goodness which is God's nature. I do not know whether humans are capable of conceiving this mystery fully or conveying how praiseworthy it is." Sola gratia. Grace alone. Number 4, solus Christus, through Christ alone. This emphasizes the role of Jesus in salvation. The church at the time had taught, you can't go to God on your own. You need help to do it. You have to come to us. We will help you get to God. And this is what people believed and understood, that they needed someone. Now, there is an understanding in most of us that there needs to be a mediator. Even in the book of Job, Job recognizes that there has to be a mediator to go to God. But who does Scripture say that mediator is? Who is it that we go to in order to be able to go to God? Well, it's none other than solus Christus, through Christ alone. Hebrews 4:15-16 teaches, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus says himself in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who offers you and me access to God. We are able to reach God ourselves through him and through his work. Through his work of salvation, it enables us to have a relationship with God our Father and to have peace. Oh, that truth changed people. You mean I don't have to go into a confessional booth? You mean I don't have to have anyone else hear about my sins? I can just go to Jesus? Yeah. That's what the scripture teaches. And you can read it for yourself. Here's a copy of the scripture. Through Christ alone. Through Christ alone. The last one. Soli Deo Gloria. Glory to God alone. This emphasizes the glory of God as the goal of life. that rather than living to please anyone else, any institution, any person, any formal thing, keeping a list of rules, regarding our own interests, none of that. Our goal is to glorify the Lord alone. That this is our purpose in life. And for each and every one of us, this probably becomes the one that we begin to live by. Because there is in life just this general sense of a lack of satisfaction in life, that people feel very dissatisfied with their lives. They just don't feel happy about their lives and what they're doing. This answers the purpose of why was I born? Why was I put here? What is it all about? The answer comes here, that a life is meant to be lived, and it's meant to be lived for Christ alone. And in doing that, in living and breathing and everything that we do, that we're thinking about, Lord, does this bring honor to you? I want to live for you and live for you alone. Every breath and everything that I do, everything that I set my hand to, I want to do it well. I want to do it well. You see, each of you has been gifted in a particular way. God doesn't want you to live a life that feels purposeless and meaningless. So, think about it. If you're a builder, build as well as you can to the glory of God. If you're a singer, you sing with all your heart to the glory of God. If you're a cook, share it with us. Okay. Cook for the glory of God. If you're an architect, make those buildings grand. If you're an artist, you make those pictures beautiful so that when every person looks at it, they see God in that picture. You take pictures of photography, same thing. Let people see Jesus in your pictures. Do everything you do with all of your heart. If you teach, you teach to the glory of God. If you preach to the glory of God. Why? Because the purpose in life is that everything be done to the glory of God. There was a young man born roughly 200 years after Luther. It was Johann Sebastian Bach. He was a man who loved music. He was born into a musical family, and he also loved the scriptures. He collected a library of 83 volumes that included the Bible, Luther's teachings, and those who had followed Luther, their teachings. He just loved learning about God. And he loved music so much that he would go to great lengths to hear it. And in fact, at one point, he convinced his supervisor to give him 1 month off of work because he heard that a renowned organist was going to be playing in a city far away. They let him go. He traveled 200 miles by foot so that he could hear this organist play music. 3 years after that, he understood and he announced what his life's purpose was. He said, "My life's purpose is to create well-regulated church music for the glory of God." He believed that music should exist only for the glory of God. And when he sat to compose, he'd scribble JJ on empty pages. Jesu Juva. God help me. Jesus help me. And then when he would finish a composition, he'd put the initials S-D-G, Soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. And his music moves us to this day to see the hand and the glory of God and everything in it. Your life can be lived to where God receives glory out of everything that you do. Why? Because that's the purpose for which you were made. 5 great truths came out of the Reformation, and they continue to speak to us today. May you embrace each and every one of them. Scripture only. Faith only. Grace only. Through Christ only. And to the glory of God only.
Ainsley, thank you for a well-delivered message and an important reminder to all of us how excellent the occasion that we have even this morning, because we're reminded of something that took place 500 years ago, but the impact still being played out today, is it not? Because of what God has done through those reformers and those who are passing on that message even to this day. And how that truth of the scriptures continue to flow, how that's come to us, and that with that, the charismatic movement, the Pentecostal movement. And I know that you're here this morning, and I'm grateful that you're here. I know the Lord has things for you to experience, and the reality that possible that maybe one of those points may not be really what you or I would say that alone is going on in my life. I want to invite you just to close your eyes just for a moment. I want to just recall our response to what this message brings to us, what the message over 500 years has been bringing to our planet, and how it's changing lives. If you are in that position where Scripture has not been one of those emphases in your lives, where you have not taken the time properly to say, I will spend the time adequate reading the Word of God, living by the Word of God. It's maybe not making the proper steps and decisions that you know you need to make. You're not aware of the Word of God like you're feeling even now convicted of. And I want you to say, I'm willing to make that change in my life. I'm willing to make that declaration. The Scripture is going to be more a part of my life. Matter of fact, I want you to do something this very moment. If you're ready to say, I've got to give more of the Word of God time in my life, Scripture alone, would you just stand? Stand right now. Stand and remain standing to your feet. If you're here as well, not just about the Scripture, but how about faith alone? You really haven't been moved by faith. Maybe even the emotions have been working in your life, and you're allowing your emotions and reactions to events, and therefore you may not have the Scripture and would love to have more faith. Scripture comes and brings and builds faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, but you want to be a person who's moved by faith, that walks by faith, that actually would impart faith to others when their lives are crumbling, but you're finding your life might be crumbling at this time, and you lack that faith, but I want faith alone. I want you to stand. Just stand right where you're at and say, I want to be a person that lives by faith, that trusts the Lord. Possibly you're standing even right now where that's at, or you're watching where you're at live stream. How about grace alone, where you just realize that really it's God's grace, His favor upon your life. You see that at times, you recognize that at times, you see that the Lord's even blessed you, even to be in America. We recognize what a favor, what a gift. And that grace alone, even for you who are standing currently, do you recognize that's a grace? That God's allowing you to see something? That you're willing to say yes to the Lord? And that you want to be a person that just gives that gratitude back to God? The grace of the Lord that would come. And you would respond to it and say, I believe the Lord highly favors me. I am that person. If you're feeling that the Lord's wanting you to believe and step into that realm, you stand as well. You stand and say, I want to be a person that talks about the grace. And it talks about it in this regard. If you recognize how much favor and forgiveness has come your way, would you be a person that would declare the same word to others and give grace, forgiveness to others? Would you stand? You need to stand. If you recognize how much grace and forgiveness you've received, then you should be the one that's a deliverer of the message. You should be the one that models the grace of God, to be compassionate even for those who hurt you. In the area, how that Christ alone, through Christ alone, not only salvation, but this could be that time in your own life where you realize, I do have Jesus. I believe in Jesus. but you haven't made him the true Lord that you need to make him. We recognize the word of God in James 2:19, where it says that even the demons believe in God and tremble. We know they will not be saved. They will not be in heaven. It must be something different than just simply believing God exists. But a willingness to say, I'm going to give my life to God through Christ alone. I'm going to enter in and experience everything through Jesus. Is this that time to recommit your life, to dedicate your life? You need to stand to your feet as well and say, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to give the Lord the place that is permanently Lord and Savior. How about a glorious life? A life lived for God's glory. Glory to God alone. Have you been living a life like that? Is that something that's a part of your vocabulary? Do you actually pass it on to others? How that you've been so blessed and been able to maintain life all these years? Have you told anybody how that it's God and I want to give him glory? Now I'm on the stage of conversation with one or with many. You can always tell a person that really is not into others. They always talk about themselves. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what somebody's into? You want to know what somebody's thinking? Just listen to what they say. Fear will come out, selfish ambitions, even contentions will flow. But to glorify God alone, is that where you're at? You're willing to say, I'm going to start giving God glory. Would you stand to your feet? You need to stand to your feet. You need to stand to your feet. If you've never given God opportunity to be recognized in public, this is the time. I want to lead you in a prayer and thank you. There's many of us who are standing. Thank you. Thank you for responding. Thank you for responding to what the Spirit of God started to move over this planet 500 years ago. It's still today, and it's enacting something significant in yours and my life right now. Let me lead you in this prayer, and I want to actually invite you to repeat after me. As we just make these declarations, here it goes. Closing your eyes and say, Dear Jesus, this day I declare that the Scripture alone will be my guide. I will determine to make the Word of God a part of my weekly intake, to live my life according to the Scripture alone. And that, Almighty God, I ask you to bring faith alone to me, that I'm into the Word, that faith is built up, that my confidence in you and what you've promised to me come alive in faith alone. And that, Lord, help me to be one of grace that flows in grace alone. I believe you've given everything, that you favor me, that I am a child of God, that you have given me grace. May I model that grace to others. May I be kind as I have been recipient of your kindness. Lord, let me be forgiving and gracious to others. And that, Lord, I thank you for my salvation. I declare today, through Christ alone, I have salvation. That Jesus alone is the Lord of my life. And that you use my life to be one that brings you glory. This day, I pray that everything I do, everything I say, brings you glory, Almighty God. Move in my life. May I be able to declare the glory of God. Give me that chance. Give me those opportunities. Awaken me when the time is at hand. Now is the time to give God the glory. Would you put your hands together and let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. All glory to God. All glory to God. And Lord, right now, as we take this opportunity, and those who are standing, those who are watching, who have declared one or all of these, that Lord, we now just present our lives to you. We recognize what the scripture says in Romans 12:1, that you, my beloved, present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Being able to prove what is right according to the word of God, able to define what is right. Lord, we thank you. In our lives be glorified. May this day change each of our lives in such a way we will never be the same. We will never be the same. And so will those who know us. They will be impacted because the glory of God has fallen upon these temples of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's thank the Lord again.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.